Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have your word to study together. Thank you that you are not a silent God, but a God who has made himself known through your Son and through your word. And so as we study your word now, please would you enable us to understand it rightly. May I teach it faithfully and clearly. And may we learn more of you as we read your word. And as we learn more of you, may we understand more how you want us to live for you. And then because we are weak and we are sinful, please would you be at work in us by your Holy Spirit to enable us to live obediently in response to what you teach us now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be back with you again this week. And we're going to look at this psalm. Some of the words, I guess, will be familiar to you, even if you're not familiar with the entire psalm. There's a tremendous hymn that's been written to it, to the theme from the Dam Busters March. We're not going to sing that today, I don't think, but so you may be familiar with it from that. But often we're familiar with the words of psalms, but we don't really have much of a take on what they mean. So we're going to just spend some time this morning seeing what God is saying to us here in Psalm 46. It is true, isn't it, that we all like to live in a peaceful world. But unfortunately, our world is full of people who fight each other. The world's full of people who treat each other badly. There's hatred, prejudice, greed, injustice in pretty much every country in the world. Sometimes it's open and obvious. Sometimes it's hidden, but it is there. There are approximately 60 significant armed conflicts currently being waged across the world. Afghanistan, Syria and Yemen are the worst, with around 90,000 deaths this year alone. Our world also has natural disasters, doesn't it? We continue to hear of the Californian wildfires, where hundreds of thousands of people have been displaced. Thousands of homes have been destroyed. Nearly 100 people have been killed. In September, there was the Indonesian earthquake and tsunami, which impacted some 2.4 million people and killed nearly 1,000. July saw heavy rain in southwest Japan, bringing devastating floods and mudslides, destroying buildings, leaving thousands displaced. Approximately 2 million people had to abandon their homes and flee to safety. Over 100 people lost their lives. And so it goes on. How can we face such situations? How do we live in a world so full of trouble and uncertainty? Where can we find security amidst all this insecurity? Where can we find hope? Where can we find the peace that we long for? Well, the psalmist knows the answer. It's the big idea of this Psalm 46. It's repeated three times, actually. In verse 1, he says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. In verse 7, he says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He says the same in verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our true security, says the psalmist, lies in God. It rests on God alone. If we put our trust in him, he will protect us. God is our shelter. God is our safety. God is our strength. Well, how do we know this is true? Well, we're given three key reasons here, I think. They are because of who God is, because of what God has done, and because of what God will do. Because of who God is, because of what God has done, because of what God will do. And firstly, we can trust in God because of who he is. What's the worst situation you've ever had to face, I wonder? Was it as bad as we read in this psalm? Verse 2, we read that the earth gives way. Like an earthquake. The mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Imagine being there when that happens. It's a real disaster, isn't it? There are earthquakes, there are storms, there are tempests. It sounds like the collapse of the world. It sounds frightening, doesn't it? But at the start of verse 2, the writer says, we will not fear. Why not? Well, the answer is in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. God is the Most High. He is sovereign over everything. There's no person and no force that is greater or more powerful than the God of the Bible. Verse 6 says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, God lifts his voice, the earth melts. Nations may be in uproar, kingdoms may rise and fall, but God needs only to lift his voice and the earth itself melts. What power, what sovereignty. How different things are under God's rule. The waters are no longer menacing seas, but a life-giving river. Where God rules, there is life and safety and peace. You probably used to do this too, but when I was a child, we used to go to the beach on our summer holidays. And when the tide was out, it was of course time for a tide fight. Do you used to do that? Great fun. We would dig like mad to build a big castle with sand. And when the tide came in, we would try to stop it with our castle. Great fun. Part of the fun was seeing how many people on the beach we could get to come and join in with their spades as well. And often we'd have tens of people, 20, 30 people, digging like mad to try and stop the sea. Well, of course, it was a futile effort, wasn't it? It was a waste of time, even though it was great fun. The sea and the waves were too persistent, too strong. Our magnificent castle eventually crumbled away, and we were left stranded in the sea. And sometimes life in this world can feel a bit like that, can't it, I think? We battle furiously against the difficulties the world throws at us, yet the castle of our life continues to crumble away. It looked great when we built it, but then the first little waves came along, and bits started to cave in and crumble away. What, I wonder, do you try and build your life's fortress with? Do you trust in money? Do you rely on being popular? Do you seek security in your family or your job? It doesn't matter what it is. Eventually, something will probably come along and start to cause cracks in your castle. And when we die, well, how good was that fortress at keeping us safe anyway? None of these things can save us in the end, can they? But look at God's city in verse 5. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. This is no sandcastle that will be washed away by the tide. God's city is solid as a rock. She will not fall. Security, confidence for the future, protection. All of this is found where God dwells. Outside God's place, disaster is never far away. But in God's city is security. So put your faith and trust in God. Willingly accept his rule. Live with him as your king. Dwell in God's city. Then we can be confident that he will protect us and fight for us. For God is our refuge and strength. And the God of Jacob is our fortress. We can trust in God because of who he is. He is the Most High. He is the sovereign God, the one true and living God. The Lord Almighty is with us, the psalm says. We can trust in God because of who he is. But secondly, we can trust in God because of what he has done. How do you know you can trust somebody? Well, I suppose one way is to look at how reliable they are. What is their past record like? Have they ever let anyone down before? Those sorts of questions. We ask that sort of question about people all the time, really, don't we? When you need some work done in your house, You ask your friends if they know someone reliable. Or you go online to one of these websites like Trusted Traders or Checker Trade that we see advertised. We want to know whether somebody is worthy of our trust, don't we? What does the psalm tell us to do with God? It tells us to consider what he has done before, what his record is like. Are you wondering whether he really is this powerful? Verse 6, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Here is an invitation to look back at what God has done. This psalm was probably written about the deliverance of Jerusalem about 2,700 years ago. The Assyrian army, the army of one of the greatest empires the world has ever seen, in fact, the Assyrian army was surrounding the city. And the situation had been desperate. But through the prophet Isaiah, we read about this in Isaiah 37, God had declared, "Do not be afraid." And he had gone on to say, "For I will defend this city and save it." And history tells us that God dramatically intervened. And that night, he put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. He wasn't messing around, was he? When God says he will act, he acts. When he says he will defend, he defends. When he says don't be afraid, don't be afraid. People are told to take note of God's powerful protection of Jerusalem. We should notice also the destruction of her enemies. The Old Testament is full of accounts of how God protects his people when they trust in him. He protects them even when they're under immense pressure. Remember the Exodus from Egypt through Moses? Then God safely guided his people through the parted waters of the sea, didn't he? And then God brought the sea crashing down to destroy the armies of Egypt. The lesson for God's people is that you can trust in God because of what he has done in history. He's reliable. Look at his mighty works. You can be confident then that when the God of Jacob says he will be your fortress, he will be your fortress. So trust in him. God's security is in stark contrast to God's judgments. He will not tolerate the disobedience and rebellion of sin forever. We learn that from the account of the flood in Genesis 6, another of God's mighty works. But there we are told God sent the flood because of how great man's wickedness on earth had become. We know it too from the defeat and exile of Israel when they had turned away from the Lord. We know, therefore, God is also a God who judges. He will not tolerate people's rebellion against him forever. But those who trust in him are secure in his city. He is our fortress. We can trust in God because of who he is. We can trust in God because of what he has done. And thirdly, we can trust in God because of what he will do. Alongside God's judgment comes his peace. He makes war cease. Verse 9, he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Now, for those who are caught up in conflict, this is a great comfort. I have the great joy and privilege of going every January to Myanmar, Burma. I'm involved in training church leaders and future church leaders in preaching the Bible, clearly, faithfully and relevantly. It's a delight to do that. But do pray for these folk. Good Bible preaching is a rarity in that land. It's a beautiful country. I love it dearly. I love the people. They're wonderful. But it is a country that still suffers from civil war. The longest running civil war in history, in fact, ever since 1948. And it's not just the Rohingya Muslims who have suffered at the hands of the Burmese military, the Tatmadaw, though that's what we hear on the news reports. I receive reports through the internet almost every week of attacks on villages in the north and east of the country. In the north especially, most people, up to 90%, would identify as Christian, and they are attacked indiscriminately. Their churches and villages are razed to the ground. The people are rounded up, and instead of being allowed to flee to refugee camps, they're often marched ahead of the army as human minesweepers. What hope do you have when you are confronted by violence and persecution? Oh, yes, in Burma there are rebel armies who, though small and poorly armed, often inflict heavy losses on the Tatmadaw. But there's little immediate prospect of peace. I have a very dear friend who runs a Bible college in the south of the country, who comes from the north and is heavily involved in trying to bring about peace and reconciliation. And he works tirelessly at it, so tirelessly in fact that he's permanently exhausted. When I talk to my friends in the north though, they have an unerring faith in God, that he will both watch over them and one day establish his eternal kingdom of peace and blessing. It is very humbling to hear them talk like that. We're so ready to be dissatisfied with our existence, aren't we? Yet here are these people whose existence is one I can barely contemplate. And yet I've never heard complain, because their trust in God is so complete. It's a lesson for us, isn't it? In the relative comfort of our existence, when we seem to find endless things to be dissatisfied and to grumble about, let's be reminded, he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. One day, God will overthrow, finally, all who make war. He will judge and cast away all hatred and injustice. He will finally establish his kingdom of peace. His people will enjoy his peace forever. Those who put their trust in him will enjoy his peace, we're told. Those who live under his rule will enjoy his peace. What a great thing that is to look forward to, isn't it? And God speaks to us directly in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. He tells us we can know his peace now and for eternity, for we can know God. This is not just knowing the facts about God. It means we can have a relationship with him. We can know the sovereign God of creation as our Father, who loves us deeply. We can know him as our friend, who will never leave us. We can know him as our King, who rules us justly and rightly. He will care for us. He will protect us. He will fight for us. He will keep us safe. He will bring us finally to life forever in his kingdom of peace. Does that sound good? How can we know God like this? Well, the Bible tells us simply, we come to know God this way through Jesus. Jesus has made it possible by dying on the cross in our place. We're going to remember that as we share in communion shortly. The bread and the wine remind us of his body broken on the cross, of his blood shed for us, the perfect sacrifice who died in our place, who took the just and deserved punishment for our sins, so we might be viewed as righteous by God and reconciled with him and forgiven our sins and have this great certain promise of a life in eternity in God's kingdom of peace and blessing. We must believe and trust in Jesus and what he's done for us. That's how we come to know God. Then we can know the certainty of his protection and strength. The psalm doesn't say you may have noticed, if not, let me bring it to your attention, the psalm does not say that we will not experience difficulties and hardship in our lives, does it? Actually, quite the reverse. It's aware that we will. And so it teaches that in God we have a strong fortress. In God we can find shelter. He will keep us safe in all the world that may throw at us, and he will bring us through safely to the end. We can trust God because of who he is, because of what he has done, because of what he will do. Verse 10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." One day, all will acknowledge him as God. He wants us to do that now. He wants us to know that he is God. He wants us to enjoy his refuge and strength because he loves us so much. Oh, we live in a world of crisis, don't we? Our world is in turmoil in so many different ways. Oh, we hear wars and rumours of wars. People are fearful. Can we say we will not fear? Yes, we can. We can say this if we believe what God says here. I am God, and the Lord Almighty is with us. That famous preacher, John Wesley, said this with his dying breath. The best of all is, God is with us. Well, may we say that with the same confidence today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the great, mighty, sovereign God of all, the creator, the sustainer, the ruler of all that you have made. And thank you that because of who you are, we can trust you and seek our refuge and strength and security in you. Thank you that because of what you have done, we can know that you are the God who will do just that. The God who cares for his people, who watches over them, who protects them. Thank you that you are the God who will act and who one day will bring all wars to cease, who will end all conflict when your Son returns in judgment as King. You will usher in your new creation, your new heavens and new earth, where your people will dwell in peace forever. Heavenly Father, please, may we keep that future promise in focus all the time as we struggle through life on earth. May we trust in you at all times, knowing that you are indeed with us. May we be still and know that you are God. May we trust in your protection, even if our life on earth should end. You are watching over us, you have protected us, because you will take us safely to the place you have promised, a place of peace and joy and blessing in your presence forever. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a great God and a God to be trusted for all things. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.